Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Pharmacy Interoperability and Emerging Therapeutics Task Force. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and we are always glad when you can join us. This task force meeting is open to the public, and your comments are welcome in Zoom chat throughout the meeting or during the public comment period that is scheduled around 11:50 Eastern Time this morning. I'd like to begin roll call of our task force members. So when I call your name, please let us know if you are here. And I'll start with our co-chairs. Hans Bodendyke.
Good morning.
Ellie Spira.
Good morning, everyone.
Pooja Bhabra.
Morning.
Chris Blackley.
Morning, everybody.
Skyla Blend. David Butler.
Present.
Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Steve.
Raj Gavarti. Thank you, Steve. Raj Gavarti. Adi Goonlovely.
Good morning.
Jim Jurgis.
Present.
Summer Kalan. Stephen Lane. Meg Marshall.
Hi, good morning.
Anna McAllister.
Good morning.
Devin McGraw is not able to join us today. Keaton Mehta.
Good morning.
Justin Neal. Elia Oliveira. Naresh Thunder Rajan. Scott Robertson.
Good morning.
Alexis Snyder.
Good morning.
Bill Sutherland. Christian Tadris.
Good morning.
Cheryl Turney.
Good morning.
And Afton Wagner.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you. And now please join me in welcoming Hans and Shelley for their opening remarks.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you. This is our agenda for today. We are at the last session for topic two. So we will start out with the agenda. But Hans, if you want to also do an opening remark.
All right. Good morning. And thanks, everybody, for joining. As Shelley indicated, we are today going to explore the last topic of task two, as well as we go through the agenda in a moment with looking back at BNC and any other recommendations as well. So looking forward to a good discussion today and see whether we can round out everything around task two to get us to finalize or beginning to draft and finalize recommendations. So thank you very much.
We also do have a guest presenter today, Hans.
Okay, let's look then at the agenda, if you can. I'm not sure whether I'm looking at the right screen. Yep. So we are going to have a guest presentation after the a review of some task 2B. Shelley will do introductions in a moment when we get to that point. And then we're going to go to a wider discussion on the presentation and any thoughts around that. We'll have at the end, as usual, our public comments. And along the way, for those who have joined, and thank you for joining, you are able to put any comments along the way in the chat as well, and everybody can respond to that. And for the panelists, as long as you use everyone in there, in the chat audience. You will not have the opportunity to provide some additional verbal comments until the end. But please don't hesitate to put your comments in. We've always seen a very good and lively debate there as well. That all will be captured as part of the notes and minutes also. And then we'll look at the steps ahead of us at the end for next week, etc. So with that, I think, Shelley, unless there are any other agenda topics.
Yeah, we can just advance the slides and let's start the meeting by going over task two use cases.
All right. So Again, we are looking at task two with a very long list of constituents that we are considering on how to improve interoperability with pharmacy and pharmacists in particular as well. If you go to the next slide, we are at task 2D, and particularly that indicates what can ONC do to address drug inventory transparency for prescribers and consumers. That has come up a number of different discussions over the last couple of weeks, and here today we will be able to dive a little bit deeper. So that's the goal for today relative to task two, discuss that further. And with that, I think we can go to the next slide. And that means we're going to have a quick look at the task 2B, use case review, and 2C, recommendation discussions. And if you can switch to the spreadsheet there, we want to highlight a couple of different things in there and then go through. And I'm not sure who, yep, there we go. So when you look at the at this tab, there are currently two tabs that that you will have discovered and that have been referenced. There is the one that's open, TF topic two recommendations, and next to it with a red bar, that's topic two discussion notes. That one that was just pointed at is the one that we were making comments into last week, organized that around questions, et cetera. And then between last week and now, and when you received the homework in TF topic two recommendations, if you go to the other tab in, yep, that one, we organized that a little bit according to the use case that have come up, and then identify based on the comments, what are they trying to address in terms of the questions and topics that further were raised. So if you want to go on the left-hand side in the column A and just gently scroll through, you'll see that there is a general, that one is scrolling within the, yeah, there you go, to the general comments that have been made across a number of different use cases. The next one is that there was a wide discussion around access to individual patient data, supporting testing through treatment process, bidirectional. And below that, a number of different examples that, before you jump to the next one, just to look at that list, there were a variety of different topics that could be considered individual use cases, or they are a type of this use case effectively. If we need to split them up, because there are some fundamental big topics in there for the final recommendations, we can do that. But generally, we were trying to see if that, can the comments that we're going to have apply across those where these are example use cases in more detail. And that repeats in some of the next ones. So you go to the next on row 21, you'll start to see where incorporating pharmacists into the care team was a big discussion, where aspects of care planning, event notification, transitions of care came up, and opportunities around that. When we look at patient engagement, there were a variety of different topics raised around availability, inventory insight. We'll surely come back to some of that today. Patients informed when data is used and shared. So a number of different use cases in there, a couple of notes that were made around that. There was a discussion on a use case level of data-driven medication-related population-level interventions, particularly identifying patients whose med list is not optimized. We want to look in a moment further at what kind of recommendations specifically can we make there beyond the use case definition. Next one, pharmacy quality measures of clinical pharmacy services, a number of different topics around task two, as well as earlier, that came up, and we're going to want to look at what else can we suggest there. Next one, more specifically around value-based care and quality measures. Public health was a use case generally that came up with a number of different things around reporting, having insight into public health information, and emergencies, public health emergency data access at that point in time. And last one that came up as well as patient safety. There might be some other ones around pharmacy payer that in earlier discussions we talked about didn't come up specifically, but anything beyond some of the prior auth notifications that were discussed, where payers were a part of the parties to be notified or that there was a specific interaction. But if there's anything else, there still might be something there. We then for each one of those kind of, and if you, no, I think you could stay in either one of them. We then split it up for each use case into the questions that we had. What's a short-term, what's a long-term opportunities that we have, which really reflected to see. And within that, as we went back and forth, that you particularly can see in some of the earlier use case topics, there were a number of them around technologies and standards, and there were also a number around governance, collaboration, et cetera. So we tried to group them a little bit together. What you then see in the next column, D, and this is easiest to scroll back up, is where then a number of different aspects in that started to come up. We were talking about queries. We talked about push messaging. We talked about network database exchange. So the reason for organizing it this way was to, in our current discussion today and in any of the follow-ups that we are going to still have to do to get to recommendations, is help to use this to say, did we forget about any key recommendation? Is there, for example, on this one around either prescribing over-the-counter medication, et cetera, any of these more specific examples, what kind of recommendations should we make around queries? Is there anything unique around that? Or is the one that Pooja provides, push messaging, is that sufficient? Is that really the key one? So our goal is not to fill out every cell in column E, but it is to just make sure that we have some triggers and thoughts that that might remind us to say, okay, yes, there's something here that we need to put in. We tried to capture everything from the discussion so far. We may have missed something or did not copy it totally correctly. So please look at that. And that's what we want to look at today to go through and see whether there's anything else that jumps out. And if you have additional thoughts, please drop them in as thoughts and suggestions for recommendations. And the more you start to phrase it like a recommendation that we want ONC to do, that would be great, because then we can start to use that for column half of past that. And then start to populate that shortly as well, which is currently empty, but that's soon we're going to start to populate that. So if you can scroll slightly to the left where we can see through column E, yeah, that's probably, that does the trick. Thank you. is that we want to go to the top. And the first question overall is that, does this help? Is there anything else that we want to or need to clarify around the overall way that we organize the data? And then we want to start from top to bottom as far as we can get in the next 10 minutes to get started. And then we are asking everybody to add their additional recommendations and thoughts or updates to these as well, where they believe that it needs to be adjusted. You might disagree, that we get those as well, so we can use that to finalize our recommendations. Does this help?
I think Ike has a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm unmuting myself. Thanks so much for doing this background work. I think it's really helpful. Two quick observations. One, I think for many of the elements, there may be a set of non-technology policy considerations that may impact the various elements. So I'm not sure that it doesn't do some good to break those out. Secondly, looking at the kind of the categorical pieces and thinking about public health in particular, there are some things that we've talked about that are public health emergent specific kinds of activities, but public health provides a large number of roles, or, you know, including in many states, looking at distributing vaccines during non-emergency times as well. So I was wondering whether it might be good to kind of include a definition up front or from a scope perspective, or think about whether we want, you know, what role in public health are we including in the public health block versus other things, because that's one where we may see some crossover into other spaces. And it would be unfortunate for someone to think that they were looking for something in one place, think, oh, well, we didn't make any comments on it, but it's really in this other location.
And on that last note, particularly, Ike, is that there, topic one that we're very specifically focused on, emergency situations, that's where a number of those topics and comments were made. We did not try to copy those into this construct because this was more around use cases. So those overlaps we need to, and where they tie together, we need to make sure that that we do that. So that's why you might not see some of the comments that were made in discussions as they were already in topic one. Regarding the first comment around policies that are specific to technologies, very specific to technologies.
Sorry for interrupting. Actually, I was looking at policies that were not technology related, okay, in terms of, for example, looking at, you know, including pharmacists as a provider type. Yes, there may be action that's necessary at the federal level to include them as a provider type. That's not technology specific. That's just as a matter of function. There may be similar things at the state level that need to occur as well. So I think there are a whole series of those kinds of policy pieces that are not, that are technology agnostic and don't necessarily have anything to do with data exchange or technology. It's just a fundamental underlying component.
So if I hear you correctly, and that was the intent of the governance collaboration policy, but as an example, and Stephen Lay might react to that, whether it's appropriate or not, but if we were to put Stephen's first comment, it's imperative for safety, it's not specific to any technology. If we move that to the governance collaboration policy, because it's an overarching comment there, would that be a good example of where we would help to organize that a little bit further and better?
I think so.
I certainly have no objection to that.
Okay. Why don't we move that, and that this then a good example of helping organize them accordingly.
Yeah, is this my objective here is just to help make it navigable, not to lose information or constrain.
No, that's helpful. Thank you. I see that Summer, you have your hand up.
Yep, thanks, Hans. So a couple of things, actually. The main thing I wanted to mention relates to the value-based care piece and the data exchange for fills. And then actually the prior comment just made me think about something on the public health side. But focusing on the value-based care, I think a lot of what we've discussed so far has really been about data exchange between the patient and provider. And, you know, as it relates to closing certain quality measure gaps and that tying into accountable care type alternative payment model arrangements, it may be worth talking a moment about how we get fill data from the pharmacy to the health plan, because, you know, that's really where the metrics and scoring occur. That data is useful at a provider site in managing a population and managing risk. But, you know, in terms of actually being able to close a gap, so to speak, on the health plan side, you know, a number of the medications that are filled to meet quality measures are, you know, cash pay meds. And so, you know, getting the fill data over where there isn't necessarily a claim, or even considering some of the newer pharmacy models where they're sort of direct to consumer, and it's, they're not running through insurance, so to speak, you know, again, there may be a gap in that data getting back to the health plan to appropriately fill gaps and report quality. So maybe worth talking about that for a minute, and then I'll hang on with my second question so it doesn't blur this question.
This is Hans, if I can.
Go for it.
Summer, those are really good points. I think the issue is, especially from a pharmacist standpoint, just filling a prescription doesn't necessarily mean it's adherent. So it's a tool to see that there's additional questions that need to be answered once the fill information is there. The problem that we have in getting fill status and even fill status to providers and or payers is an issue of connectivity and sharing that particular information. We hope we did add fill status to the USCDI. The problem comes in on the fill status. It is still an optional field for the e-prescribing or the script standard. And so that information doesn't necessarily always get transmitted in a bi-directional way. We have a lot of problems with the e-prescribing standard in adoption of bi-directional exchange of information using the standard, such as fill status.
And what would be
that could be a potential problem.
And what would be particularly a suggestion, recommendation to advance sharing fill data with payers? What would some of the recommendations be?
Making that a mandatory requirement as part of the certification process for e-prescribing.
Certification of whom?
The certification of EHRs, because e-prescribing is part of the ONC certification process for the prescribers.
So it is solely on the provider side, or is there also on the pharmacy side information that needs to be shared with?
Well, it has to be turned on the prescriber side to receive the notification of fill status. Now, if we advance it to payers, that's going to be another issue. And maybe this is a discussion for those, you know, later on as we go through this again, that we bring this up.
Yeah, what would be helpful is to understand is that where do we have a gap, or do we have the standards, they are not implemented? Do we have policies that need to reinforce that? And is it only the prescriber? Is it the pharmacist as well? What needs to happen on the payer side to ensure that the flow is fully addressed, not only one side of the equation when we talk interoperability? So any thoughts as to where are those gaps? Do we need better, more standards? Do we need to just certification, and if we need certification, who adheres to it?
I think the standards are there. Let's go to Pooja. She might have some.
Yeah, I agree with that. So you know, we do have standards for this, right? I think there is. I think there should be some kind of and maybe this ends up being a smaller group, but you know, the standards between the pharmacy and the EHR exist. To Shelley's point, you have to turn that on. I also know that in some states, fill data is, uploaded to HIEs. There's also the PDMPs, where in some states, the pharmacies are uploading just controlled substances, and other states they're asking for everything to be uploaded. So there's a lot of data that's being uploaded to different places. I think the real issue comes down to, whether or not the access, whether or not the data is being accessed for the things that we want it to be accessed for, if we want it for quality measures, things like that. So I think kind of a look at how all the data is flowing today, but we definitely have the standards. I think it's just a matter of kind of access to the data. That's kind of how I'm looking at it.
Yeah, and the one clarification there, and it might be between you, Pooja, and Summer. Summer in the notes indicates that it's from the pharmacy to the health plan. I'm hearing Shelley talk about the prescriber to the health plan. So in the notes, additional notes, we don't need to immediately discuss it right now, but in the notes, if that can be clarified, which are the parties that would need to adhere or implement those capabilities that ONC might be able to help out with. Christian.
Yeah, thank you, Hans. I just put a comment in the chat. What I was going to say is, and it's the last thing you just talked about, which is really who needs access to fill history, so to speak. Makes sense, a lot of sense for the providers involved in the patient care to ensure that as part of the care process in a value-based arrangement, and for some payers to have access to it. But there are often multiple payers that are paying the overall cost of care, whether that's patient out of pocket, whether that's a secondary or just an alternative payer source. So we want to dial that in, is what that recommendation looks like, is who needs which pieces, how do we reduce the multiple transaction counts that might have to come when multiple quote unquote payers might be involved, and is it necessary for how much of the broader information exchange is necessary for any given particular payer in the arrangement. So just some nuances to tease out, as you guys mentioned. I just wanted to kind of put them on the book to talk about.
Yeah, and we got your note. That's great. We have three hands up. We have, we need to start to shift to the next topic in a moment. Shelley, if we go until 11 o'clock, I think we're still good to introduce, and then, so let's go, but Chris, go ahead. And then Afton, and some of you dropped your hand. I'm still keeping that in mind that you had your hand up.
Yeah, regarding the Rx fill transaction back to the prescriber, the barrier is that the, I think it was already mentioned, but the transaction is not a required standard. It's not required to be transmitted. The consequence of that is that many of the pharmacy systems don't actually implement it, because then the pharmacy also has to pay the fee to the switch provider to transmit it. So you got a financial disincentive for transmitting a non-required transaction, and the pharmacy systems therefore don't actually all support it. So making it a required element of the standard would be the solution, I think.
Thank you. And we'll come back to Summer in a moment with the comments that he had. Afton, you had a comment?
Yep, I'll be quick. Just to add on to Christian's comments of things to take into consideration, obviously who needs the data and what data is shared, but can pharmacists receive it in a readable format? And also, what's the priority that they would need to receive it in and be able to exchange it bidirectionally? So just making sure we're getting the right information and the most accurate information, and being able to, other folks have said, get it back to the health plan, and echoing what Chris just mentioned too, is, you know, that's always a, how do we get it back to the plan in an economical fashion?
Thank you. And also some good discussion in the chat around what data can be shared or not based on self-pay or consent or otherwise. Before then jumping to the next topic, Summer, if you have any additional comments based on the notes and discussion that I really appreciate you started on who needs to get what. Any final comments before we jump to the next agenda topic?
No, Hans, I just shared some thoughts in the chat, so I'll just leave it there for the sake of time. I think really the biggest thing for me is that we don't turn the provider into an intermediary here, trying to flow data to close gaps. So, you know, I just want to make sure that doesn't become the result of the standards that we end up endorsing here.
Okay, appreciate that. And if you have any additional thoughts you want to drop into the spreadsheet to make that more clear, and who we need to focus on for what aspect, that would be great.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
Then I think we'll jump to Shelley to move on to task 2D. And then after that and the discussion there and time permitting, we'll come back to some of the conversation here and progress that. Shelley?
Great. Thank you. So if we can go back to the slide deck, I'd appreciate it. So we are now on task two discussion. I guess go to the next slide. If we don't have that, I'll be glad to tell us what task two is. If you go to the next slide. Okay, so task two is, what can ONC do to address drug inventory transparency for prescribers and consumers? I wanna make it clear that this is under the category still of pharmacy-based clinical services and care coordination. We know that from a care standpoint, that price transparency can be an issue, especially if you have a patient who can't afford their medications. So we want to look at it also, not just from the physical aspect of getting price transparency, but really how does it really address our patients in terms, especially for those patients that might not be able to afford it or might not want to pay a copay or go through a prior authorization process. So from a technology standpoint, having price transparency could be very important. So I just wanted to make it clear that we're not just talking about having transparency, but we want to make sure that we're bringing in the clinical aspect of what this means. So let's go to the next slide.
I'm sorry, I need to interject, Shelley. I'm not sure if you may have misspoken. We're not talking about price transparency here. It's the inventory transparency.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I know price transparency is on top of all of our minds.
Yeah, it is. Sorry about that. Yeah, it is drug inventory transparency. Very similar. I apologize for misspeaking about that. For drug inventory transparency, this is an issue that some of our patient advocates have brought up, that they might not have access to medications. I just wanted to remind everybody that we want to look at it from a clinical standpoint and a care coordination standpoint. So let's go to our next slide and to our speaker. So our speaker is Philip Lettrich with Health Policy and Business Development with Vela. And so, Phil, you're up next.
Okay, great. I appreciate you sharing the slides, and I'll let you know in advance. As just some self-introduction, I am a pharmacist. I have a degree from Ohio Northern University, and I maintain a current license. I have experience in and visibility across multiple perspectives of pharmacy in the industry, including 30 years across dispensing and retail, pharmacy benefit management systems, PBMs, drug database compendia, where I currently am at First Data Bank, and professional associations and standards development organizations. So if you want to change to the next slide, please. This topic has drawn me to present to you today related. It relates to the interest in enabling communication of some version of medication inventory, in stock status or medication availability to various parties in the healthcare ecosystem, which I'll go through in a minute. The NCPDP Standards Development Organization has been exploring and discussing this subject within a task group, which I serve as the task group leader. The task group is the Pharmacy Product Locator Task Group, and this task group is within the NCPDP Workgroup 11 e-prescribing and related transactions workgroup. So the purpose of the task group is to investigate creating a technical solution for pharmacies to query pharmacies to locate products on behalf of patients. The participation in this group has been modest, most often just a handful of participants. And for transparency, the group is currently not meeting while some of the thoughts percolate and mature, and task group participation and recruitment make some gains. I'm going to dive in a little more into the progress of what the task group has accomplished so far. It includes identification of stakeholders in the communication of medication availability. Those stakeholders include pharmacies, prescribers, EHR systems, patients, payers, and suppliers, many of who we've been talking about or hearing about just in this last few minutes. Another advancement of the task group is identification of multiple use cases. Those scenarios, for example, are, well, number one, the way it started, which is the acute need for a medication out of stock with, say, inhalers, anaphylaxis medications, pain medications. Those acute needs should be, you know, the medication should be available to the patient at the earliest convenience. Other scenarios where it's just a do not stock the medication, won't stock the medication, or can't get the medication. And the one that comes up so often is Paxlovid when it was first marketed. You know, it was available at a limited number of pharmacies, and specialty medications get mentioned in that do not stock or won't stock kind of environment as well. And then a pain point that is often heard as well is limited distribution drugs, where only certain pharmacies have the medication as determined and mandated by the manufacturer. Additionally, the task group has drafted proposed data fields and process flows for a transaction to enable the communication of product availability. And finally, the task group has identified some out-of-scope topics to keep the topic clean and serve the function of delivering on the intent. So out-of-scope includes things like the ownership of the patient by the pharmacy, the economic model, method of transmission of the original prescription, interrogation of benefit coverage, and the process after the response is received by the inquirer. So these things have served us well to provide a foundation for the conversation and to guide us in development of the draft transaction and fields that are needed to produce this answer to the question of, is the product available? To dig into the use cases a little bit deeper, while the purpose of the task group was initially identified as pharmacy to pharmacy interaction, as we discussed it, the usefulness and value of the content of this communication has been recognized in the discussions and thereby leading to additional use cases. So again, number one was pharmacy to pharmacy, avoiding a phone call, finding the answer the quickest you can and not tying people up in a manual process. But number two surfaced as a use case, which is prescriber to pharmacy. And this resonates well with what I'm hearing in some of the conversation today. You know, there's a lot of value in the prescriber knowing whether a pharmacy has the inventory to fill a prescription that he is prescribing. Therefore, several benefits would exist to knowing that. Satisfying the patient's expectations that the pharmacy will have this medication, the avoidance of patient inconvenience and therapy delay while the medication is being prescribed rather than while it's being sought out after it's prescribed. So the avoidance of going back and forth, you know, the professionals are busy, and if an electronic communication can answer a question of availability, that would be more efficient. And then we mentioned already, or I mentioned the Paxlovid was, you know, a great example of do you have it, do you not have it, as that was emerging as a standard therapy. Unfortunately, drug shortages continue to be in the space, and whether it's an inhaler or a pain medication or something else, you know, that the patient would benefit and the prescriber benefit from knowing whether or not they can get it at the store or pharmacy that they are attempting to get it from. And the consumer has also surfaced as an interested party. And these are maybe obvious, but they're worth mentioning. You know, the consumer is well served because they would avoid unnecessary travel. If they knew that the drug was in stock, they would avoid unnecessary exposures potentially. Another great example with the pandemic, don't go to a place that you can't complete your transaction or get your medication. And then ongoing flu season, don't need to be exposed as well. And therefore also avoiding unnecessary delays in therapy if that medication is not available. So the current task group status is that it's on a hiatus and it's not meeting, but it is continuing to work in the background with some individuals. It is encouraging individual perspectives to mature and evaluate efforts to enable a transaction in its basic sense, and what is the effort to build out development to support it, and ultimately the pursuit of a mutually interested parties engaging in a pilot. There's several parameters that the task group has memorialized to guide efforts, and they include the following. I think they're on the next slide, please. Yeah, I'll give you 5 to 10 seconds to look at these, but just think of these as foundational to our work in the task group and what we would anticipate perhaps being the guidance to delivering on a transaction that satisfies the inquiry of, do you have this? Can you fill this prescription or not? And finally, next slide, please, is just a quick summary, which says, you know, in summary, a transaction which communicates medication availability delivers benefits to the crew, to the patient, the prescriber, and the pharmacy. And those include efficiency in healthcare delivery and operations and improvements to patient experience and outcomes by mitigating the delay in therapies. So this slide highlights those, and I am through in about 5 minutes, and I'll take questions.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Phil. And I did let you go a little bit longer.
I appreciate it.
So thank you for that. And we do have, Anna, you have a question?
Hi there. Yeah, thank you for this. And somebody who put a lot of the use cases into the document around this issue, this is one that has perplexed me for years, that this is not data that's readily available given where we are in terms of data accessibility and data standardization. I have type 1 diabetes, all the complications, have comorbid diseases, so I take a lot of different medications. And the amount of time that it takes for me to manage my medication inventory is absurd, and it's gotten so much worse in recent years than it's ever been, because, you know, the PBMs, insurance companies, and pharmacies have all gone into just-in-time inventory management of their in-stock capabilities and for what PBMs are allowing patients to have. So and that combined with certain classes of medications that now have shortages, it's very, very difficult and remarkably time consuming to like just get access to medications, even generic medications, let alone biologics. And I take several biologics. So this to me is a very critical issue in terms of patient workload and the ability to actually be adherent. And this is for me, my mother's on Medicare and is not well. And like the amount of work that she has to go through is absurd with Medicare Advantage. So why would we not be able to just get access or insight into the pharmacy's stock, as opposed to whether or not they could fill a specific prescription? So for instance, there are several medications that I take that could be prescribed in different sort of denominations. And I could take them and, you know, I could take 2 15-milligrams or I could take 1 30-milligram. If a pharmacy could fill one but not the other, that's fine. But if my doctor writes for 30 milligrams, they've only got 2 15-milligrams, or then why would I not be able to see that so that I could then, my physician could then, you know, send it to the correct pharmacy, et cetera. So like as much information as possible needs to be provided to the patient. And I think the expectation should be there that, you know, ideally the patient wouldn't have to manage that. But the reality is that the patient does have to manage that, and the caregivers of patients have to manage all of this inventory control. And again, it's Paxlovid, I've had to try to, you know, source a couple of times. That's not fun, but that's like a one-off. Doing this monthly across 15 different medications is a lot. And like I've waited on the, you know, the phone on hold for hours, countless numbers of time. So anyway.
So Anna, this is Shelley. What recommendations would you recommend that ONC does to increase the pharmacy or pharmacist communication with the patient?
I think ONC should use its ability to, you know, there are data elements that could be made available to and visible to patients that would make it easier to coordinate with the pharmacist. I think we need to assume that the pharmacist is going to be super busy, because a lot of them are now doing injections of vaccines. They've got long lines, they've got people on hold. The pharmacy tech situation hasn't recovered from the great resignation. So if I have to coordinate with the pharmacist, that's a minimum of an hour, whether that's on hold, me going to the pharmacy, whatever. So providing specific information about medication inventory, specific denominations of medication inventory, and specific distributors or manufacturers. So again, you know, I had an issue where the PBM or the health plan was only covering one specific NCD code for a particular medication, but neither the provider nor the pharmacy, nor nobody in the process had any knowledge. Even the PBM didn't have any knowledge of this until like I accidentally got it filled at a different pharmacy that I typically go to. So that sort of information, anything that could be identified as a requirement or barrier or some sort of a filter for what can be prescribed, should be included in the data that's transmitted and collected and made available and visible to the patient.
Thank you, Anna. Summer?
Thanks, Shelley. So I wanted to talk through a little bit as a group the standards and the workflow systems that these standards plug into to solve the problem. So I agree it would be very helpful as a prescriber to be able to use the e-prescribing networks to be able to ping and say, hey, before I send this prescription, can you tell me if you have it in stock, or if not, should I go to a different pharmacy and transmit the prescription there instead? It saves a lot of workflow efficiency. I think if we expand the use cases, though, like we were just talking about patients wanting to be able to get that access, and in the chat, there's some back and forth about, you know, whether that should be the health plans and PBMs, for example, that make that available to their members. But also thinking about the public health emergency environment, you know, I'm not even entirely sure what the public health workflow system would be. So not only in the context of a pandemic like COVID, but also sort of regional emergencies, like after a hurricane or a fire, where services are disrupted, but people still need to get access to their medications. You know, I don't know what systems, you know, a public health agency or a public health leader would be accessing to help coordinate that, especially because a lot of our standards are built for workflow systems like pharmacy management systems and EMRs. So, you know, maybe as a group, I'd be curious to get everybody else's take on this. You know, how do we construct a standard or set of standards that accomplishes this goal for, you know, a larger number of stakeholders than just provider to pharmacy?
So along those lines, what would you recommend to ONC then to as a recommendation? We know we have a problem. We know there might be some solutions. Would that be more like convening a task group or an educational session or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, Shelley, and I'll just sort of give my opinion and I'm curious to hear others. You know, the script standard around e-prescribing makes a lot of sense for a prescriber in an EMR looking to, you know, get that information. I think for a patient, you know, I think we'd want to talk through the use case. Is it a one-off query, in which case maybe it's a proxy of the script, you know, where it's a patient making a query? But is it something that looks more like a registry where perhaps it's accessible through a health plan's website? A member can go in and search and say, hey, is my prescription available at Pharmacy X? And that kind of ties to the public health environment as well. A lot of the interaction with public health is through registries, EMRs and other systems sending data to registries as a sort of single point of information access. So I'm just putting those out there. I don't know what the right solution is. That's where I kind of want to talk through it with the group. But I think there's sort of two paths there. Is it a transactional standard, you know, point A to point B into workflow systems? Or is it more of a registry type standard that maybe leans more into an HL7 type transaction, for example, that creates sort of a single point of access?
Interesting. Scott?
Sorry, the mute button was on. I have a couple concerns about the inventory discussion. At times, there's more than just, is there enough inventory to dispense a prescription? And so, yeah, I mean, that is a primary point. And so I think the query would be useful, but there still might be other complications. I don't favor the idea of a registry in this regard because inventories change so dynamically. Keeping registries up to date is going to be extremely difficult. Now, this also means the converse of that is every query is some level of load on the pharmacy. And if there's going to be, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands, depending on the local pharmacy ecosystem, how many pharmacies in an area and how many patients, that could become potentially burdensome as well. This also, I do want to say, in terms of the patients getting it, I think it's a really good idea for the patients to be able to get people determine, you know, at least do they have it in stock. But wide open access on a broad range of products concerns me a bit. I hate to say it, but somebody's shopping around for which pharmacy they want to steal from. And that's really sort of out there, but I have a concern if it's not directed. I mean, granted, you might want to find out, do you have the 15s and do you have the 30s? But if you want to know, you know, all the drugs related to this, I don't think those larger queries, maybe it's just a matter of being a little bit more explicit on exactly what the real use cases are, as opposed to we're still being pretty general at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. I'm going to go to Phil. I hope Anna and Alexis, if you'll let Phil answer since he's our presenter, maybe he might glean some information on this. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks very much. I wanted to respond to a couple of those things because the work group task group has had discussions at length on some of them. One is to say that this, we expect it would be a crawl, walk, run kind of environment. Like, let's get the answers that are needed today and then mature them. And the most common answer that's asked is, can you fill my prescription? And the most common method today is a phone call. So let's get that phone call set aside and let a real-time transaction ask the same thing that the phone call would ask, can you fill my prescription? Now, the answer could be yes. It could be no, or it could be no, but I can get it. So now the patient or the doctor is much more ingrained in the tied to the appropriateness of that pharmacy's ability to fill. I think that, Scott, you bring up a point that has certainly been discussed, which is I don't want to expose my inventory to my competitors, my criminal element, my et cetera. So, you know, allowing an inquiry on hydrocodone is not something that anybody wants to open up to, but maybe by inquirer type. I'm a patient, I'm a health plan, I'm a physician, I'm another pharmacy. You know, those are constraints that we've looked at that make sense in the, you know, public environment. And I also want to say that it's always going to be a point of time inquiry. Can you fill it? Yes. Did you just come in after somebody who took all my inventory? That could happen. It's not a reserve system that we've been talking about. It's a can you fill it? And it's normally going to be 90% true when somebody shows up at the door, or they may not show. So you don't want to reserve it. So those are a couple of the things that I wanted to mention that were tied to what folks were talking about. The registry does seem to be one of the highest hurdles where folks, and I say folks, I mean corporations, do not want to aggregate the inventory that they have on a third-party site, but they would be open in most cases to making an inquiry. And it's in today's environment, it's all computerized. They can check, you know, do I have 30 tablets of, you know, drug X, et cetera. And by the way, we've identified that those elements exist already in the script standard. So that's not a new set of information, it's just a new transaction that uses similar information to answer the question, because it's like a prescription you're answering, can you fill it, this quantity, etc. So that's a positive for us as we've looked at what fields to use. So thanks for letting me interject, Shelley.
Oh, sure, Phil. Anna?
I mean, it's, as I listen to some of these arguments or points, I mean, they may be valid, but I guess part of my frustration with this, one of the reasons I put all these use cases into the document last week, is that, I mean, this happens across all discussions around health policy, is that we need to begin with the point of what is going to make it the most, what can we do from an informatics and ONC perspective to make it most likely that patients are going to be able to seamlessly, easily access the medication they need to stay healthy and to keep their disease from getting worse and to manage their care, rather than starting from the perspective of what is it possible for pharmacies to want or not want to share for whatever reason. We need to center everything we're thinking about on what allegedly people care about, which is adherence and the ability to stay healthy, and that these medications and information about these medications are critical to the individual and the patient to be able to preserve and maintain their health. And everything else should fall under that objective, because all of this stuff that you raise may be incredibly valid, but the reality is that each of these points gets in the way of facilitating of individuals' ability to care for themselves. So if I am going to benefit from being able to tell if my pharmacy is able to fill a particular denomination of like Concerta or generic Concerta, and have the amount and it be from a specific distributor, because that's the only thing that might help them. I should be able to get that information without having to call around to every pharmacy in the area, feeling like a drug seeker, and then letting my physician know which of those places he should send this controlled substance prescription to. I mean, the amount of hours I've had to do to deal with that very specific scenario. I mean, it's like an entire work week of hours of trying to manage that specific scenario. And none of that gets considered, but all of the concerns about pharmacy inventory and pharmacy corporate concerns or the desire to own specific patient or whatever, that stuff gets concerned within the discussions around these policy issues. And the reality is we need to center them around what's going to make it possible for people to be healthy.
Thank you. Alexis?
Well, first and foremost, hear to everything that Anna just said. I think I've presented this a few weeks ago with another use case as well. That people really don't stop and think about what should be a patient-centered problem here and focusing on what needs to be done in the end so that patients have what they need to be their baseline of well or whatever that looks like for them. I don't think people realize how many hours of time it spends for patients and caregivers to get this sorted out and sometimes end up with no solution. So thank you, Anna, for addressing that again as well. I wanted to bring up something we talked about. I had mentioned a use case a few weeks back. And then I think Scott had mentioned on one of our previous calls, thinking about things as not just sending a prescription to a pharmacy, but to a pharmacist or particular person who would act as your medical home, your pharmacy medical home person to see things through. Because I think part of this issue is not just where is it available and can I get it at that pharmacy, that doesn't always give us a picture. So I presented a use case in the past with an injectable drug that comes in multiple doses and a pharmacy originally, you know, sending me a text update, you know, when it will be ready as if they have it. And then finding out a day later, oh, they don't have it. And then them saying they have to spend hours of times on the phone trying to figure out when they can actually even order this or not. Is there a shortage for them even to be able to get the medication in? So it's not just who has it, but does anybody actually have it, or is anybody actually able to even get this from the supplier? And then when that answer is no, and you can't get this right now, it's not currently available in the US because of shortages, then what? Then that becomes the patient or caregiver's problem to sort out, well, what dose is available? What can be gotten? Now I need a new prescription from my provider. I also may need a new prior authorization. I need an exception from my insurance company because why, if I just got X, Y, and Z dose and a prior authorization for that, am I requesting a new prior authorization for a different dose? There's too many things and too many catch points that a patient and caregiver cannot be stuck in the middle managing, because you can make all the phone calls in the world, but at the end of the day, you're not the one that's actually able to do these pieces and move the pieces forward. So I guess my overall point is pushing again for better coordinated care with the pharmacy medical home. It cannot just say, oh, the pharmacist, it's the patient's problem, it's the caregiver's problem, it's the provider's problem. The provider says, oh, it's the pharmacy's problem. We need a way to fix this so that things are not only real-time access to inventory and what we can actually get, but also solutions. So we can't have people falling through the cracks and then having poor outcomes because of this issue.
Thank you. And Ike?
Thank you. Kind of looking back at the COVID-19 PHE public health emergency, we did have direct experience in looking at inventory management, inventory control, drug distribution, and accountability. So for like Texas, like many other health departments, had received COVID-19 vaccine allocation from the federal government and had an inventory control system where providers, pharmacies, hospitals, et cetera, across the state would order medications from DSHS, the state health department, and we distributed it them to the pharmacy. From an accountability standpoint, because there were requirements that all COVID-19 vaccine administrations had to be reported back to the state, we then received back information about how many of those vaccines actually got administered and when. So that was part of the accountability piece in there. One of the issues that emerged is that some of the larger hospital systems did not want us to allocate prescriptions or allocate medications, not to specific facilities, but to the system over to their health system overall and enable them to redistribute the medications within their system as they deemed it necessary and appropriate. That made it a little more difficult from an inventory control perspective or inventory management standpoint to understand exactly what vaccinations or what supplies were available in what location. So that's kind of another element of this broader puzzle, which is if you're looking at inventory management, inventory control, at what level are you really tracking that behavior? Is it, you know, not just, oh, the pharmacy operated by your favorite grocery store, but is it the specific pharmacy that's around the corner at a particular address? So again, that's just kind of another level of complexity that needs to get worked out. Now, that's kind of the other side. We're all familiar with, you know, putting in refill requests with pharmacy, pick up the phone call, enter a prescription number, and the auto voice response says, oh, it'll be ready in 2 days. I'm not sure if there are systems that are actually doing current inventory checks about what is actually in stock. I know that fairly frequently we go through it. Yes, it'll be available in a day or 2 days or whatever. And lo and behold, 2 days later, we get a note back saying, oh, well, we were unable to fill your supply, or we're doing a partial fill of 2 pills as opposed to 20. So I think there's some fundamental tools that are already in process, but I'm not sure from a information system today, is inventory information being used to populate voice response systems? And that might be kind of an initial first step. Thanks.
Yeah, I think that what you're saying is important in using the use case of what we saw with COVID, but you're talking about one or two drugs. I mean, what Anna and Alexis are bringing up are multiple drugs in multiple situations, which becomes a lot more complex.
Absolutely. Please, I was not looking at, oh, we've solved it with COVID-19 and it's done and we can use that as the perfect model going forward. It's a building block and an example as a one-off kind of scenario with a very limited spectrum of drugs. COVID vaccines and some of the antivirals were once in scope, but by no means does that mean it's, you know, immediately expandable to every medication out there. But it does give us some experience on which to build.
And there were all sorts of problems with that too.
Right, yeah.
Major problems.
Yeah. It's a foundation of which to build. Some lessons learned, some things worked better than others. Some things really had some significant learning curves.
So I'm still hearing a recommendation that we need to define the process that would work for patients, pharmacies, providers, wholesalers, and others, is what I'm hearing as a recommendation. Still haven't gotten to a recommendation of what would work, but let's go to Hans.
Now, I actually wanted to take your comments a little bit further there, because I'm hearing as well through the discussion and the chat that there are potential opportunities to, in targeted queries, targeted requests, to understand, is there a sufficient inventory, perhaps even reserve under certain conditions. And part of that is that concerns were raised around whether the request is appropriate, authentic, or whether it is somebody trying to figure out where to go from a nefarious perspective. And with those kind of things is that there are opportunities that in the work group that Phil highlighted some aspects of that, those kind of questions. How do I authenticate that it's for a real prescription, that it's from a real prescriber, that the patient is authentic, et cetera, that can be worked out in work groups like that. And that can advance, and there's already work in place. But Phil also indicated, if I heard it correctly, that the work group is on hiatus. And to me, that starts to raise the question of not only the recommendation we need to do work here, but what can ONC do? Are there considerations around priorities or otherwise that if with some assist from ONC, these kind of efforts to figure this out can advance further? We have talked in prior discussions around should there be a community around pharmacy, USCDI data elements, et cetera, which really, and prioritizing use case over time, is forming that kind of a community where all those aspects can be discussed, including this one. Is that something where ONC can have a role in to help advance that, to move beyond where we currently are at a better pace? Or is this something, though, that the industry just has to do on its own? I'm curious for some reactions as we go through the conversation. What is it that ONC can do?
Yeah, what on that line, would it be good to recommend maybe a playbook or a toolkit of some kind that, number one, identifies the problem? And is that something that we could possibly recommend to ONC? Let's go to Anna.
Hey there. I guess part of where the reason that I like put all these use cases specifically in there is for this particular provision. It's not just a vent via a work group, but to say like there are data that's already collected that exists in one form or another that could be mandated to be shared and disclosed. It's like all of this inventory is now automated and shared in finding in incredible detail about each point in the inventory process. I mean, that process has been perfected over time and, you know, put on steroids amidst COVID with all of the inventory supplies across all different sectors, not just healthcare. All of that data exists about where is it in transition? Because like the point that I made about like, just the bit, you know, you get a notification, like a clearly automated notification that the medication's been ordered, it will be in tomorrow by 4 p.m. You have no idea if that's a real thing or if that's actually going to be in by 4 p.m. Chances are it's not going to be there, but you've been told by the pharmacy definitively that it will be there. I have no insight, and apparently the pharmacist has no insight into whether or not that's a true reality based on what they say when I go to pick up the medication, it's never there. So all of that data exists. It's already collected by somebody. It just isn't being made available and visible to either the pharmacy or the patient. And again, there is no one patient use case scenario. I would really prefer to not have to manage this stuff, but all of the data that needs to be accessed by anybody in the system should assume that patients will need to access the data. Whether or not they have to is a different question, but if they do have to, they should be able to.
Scott.
Yeah. The inventory management is electronically managed in most pharmacies, and yes, orders are done electronically. But it's not as robust as everybody thinks. DSCSA, the track and trace rules, have proven to be very complex to bring into reality. If a pharmacy does receive notice that an order that, you know, products that were ordered are in this package and this package has been shipped and is expected to arrive tomorrow, it's the same thing as you getting a notification from UPS that your package is going to be delivered today between 10 and 5. I've waited way past 5 way too many times. And so I'm not, and I don't mean this against what you're saying, and I'm saying they can only provide as much information as they can only provide the information they have. Now, sort of becomes the question, should they tell the customer, the patient, that your medication will be ready at 4 o'clock tomorrow? Or should they only be said, your medication has actually been prepared and is ready and waiting for you? You know, there's no good answer to that. And I'm not quite sure if we could even do anything through as far as recommendation in terms of that. It's just, yeah, the standards support these things, or the standards could support these things with not much more added, but the reality is going to take a little longer to come into existence. Sorry, I'm cold water thrown on all our good talk right now.
No, I agree with you, Scott, and it is a very complex issue. And I know that Summer has put into the chat, maybe we should recommend to convene a group of stakeholders to sort of flush out in more detail this very complex topic of, it's not just inventory or shortages. And if we look at it from a clinical and care coordination standpoint, as Anna and Alexis has brought forward, is the fact that we need to do a little bit more in thinking the entire process from prescribing all the way through the patient accessing the medications. And I think that this is an extremely complex topic. I don't think we have enough time to address it here. We still have 8 more minutes left before we go into public comment. So I'll turn it over to Phil for his comment or question.
I just wanted to add one thing that I did not put into the presentation, but the patients who are consumers, consumerism is driving this, and we certainly heard that from the perspective of the patient. But today, if we order on Amazon, they'll tell us if they're out of stock. Today, if we order from a retailer, who's going to mail us an article of clothing, they might say, I have 3 left. Do you want them? So the expectations exactly are building, and the technology is working for somebody out there, and it should transition to pharmacy as well. It is more complex, perhaps, because of doses and strengths and controlled substances and all those things. But I think the consumer is driving that expectation because of their experience in the marketplace today, and they are the buyer. So I just wanted to add that in.
Exactly. And that's, if Amazon corrects the number of Diet Cokes that are in my cart for delivery based off of their real-time inventory and like keep telling me you don't get 10, you only get 5, then we should be able to get that kind of data. It's the possibility is there. We're just not requiring it.
Okay, well, any other comments? We've got 7 minutes left. So yeah. I've got a couple of recommendations. Go ahead, whoever wanted to speak.
Yeah, I was just wondering, Shelley, whether we want to jump into some of the spreadsheet related to it. We've seen Summer made a suggestion in the chat. Others close to that can update the spreadsheet. Is that where you want to go before public comments, or do we want to go to public comments?
We've got 6 minutes, so let's go to the spreadsheet. In the meantime, Ike, you have your hand raised.
Yeah, one other thing. I think the other piece, kind of backing up and supporting what Anna was saying earlier, is that this needs to be patient-centered or patient-focused as a component of providing information electronically to the patient without creating any additional burden on the patient to go out and seek information. As an example, potential workflow, okay, physician or other script writer generates a script, sends it electronically to the pharmacy, patient gets an electronic copy of the send, they get a copy of the acknowledgement of the receipt by the pharmacist for the confirmation that supplies are available to complete the fulfillment projected date of filled script availability, and then a confirmation the script is then available and confirmation that it's been picked up. Really reflective of the same general concepts that the issuing prescriber is looking for, as is the pharmacy. Patients should have the same information, again, without having any additional burden or going to 22 different pharmacy websites to find out what's available for that patient. It should be more of a collected, distributed search where I'm saying, okay, I need to get my whatever it is refilled. Okay, who's got it in stock with a geographic proximity search to my location and my payer information and that kind of stuff. We don't want to have a system that creates additional work for patients.
I totally agree, but I think maybe the start or a recommendation might be that we might need to develop several use cases, because it's not, I mean, if you have a drug that's a REMS drug, or you need a prior authorization, or is it just a short? There are so many issues that I think we need to begin to develop use cases on the different scenarios that cause access issues to the patients. That's apart from the connectivity that needs to take place between the prescriber, the pharmacy, and the patient and the payer. These are all very complex issues, but I think if we, maybe the recommendation is to form a group that would be get to develop, whether that's NCPDP or HL7 or some other standards development organization, or the pharmacy associations come up with a way to come up with these use cases, or the patient advocacy groups. I think we need to begin to identify this very complex issue from beginning to end. So Hans, I'll turn the spreadsheet over to you. We have 3 minutes.
Okay, so when we go to the spreadsheet, a couple of thoughts and comments. One is that if you can go all the way to the top let's leave it here. There are a couple of comments that were made in here that if you have additional ones, all task group members can get into this directly if you see something that may not reflect the comment exactly as you made it, or it might have been made by somebody else. You can go in and make those fixes. And as you can see in red, you can make some additional comments as well if you want to clarify that. I believe that, there was a comment from Summer, cross-sectional group by there. So I think that came from the chat. Are there other, when you look at this list, and this is just capturing during the meeting, are there other comments that that jump out? For example, the suggestions that were made by a variety of people is to look at the kind of data, as Scott also indicated, to have the ability to look at and ask for availability of filling that particular prescription and possibly going that further. That requires a community to come together. Can we widen the comment by Summer a little bit further on how can ONC get collaboration across standards organizations, pharmacy community in general? How can we move that forward to do that? Is that, can we be more specific, or is it just a general comment that we provide to ONC to help pull that together? Any thoughts in that regard? Because many of the comments that we have are around that part. So curious whether anybody has additional thoughts on how to get to a more specific recommendation if we can. And perhaps that might be offline as well. There are in topic one some comments that are like this, but then on relative to comment one. So I think there's a couple of places where getting a community together to continuously prioritize use cases, which ones to focus on, identify what standards we have and where they can be, where we need to fill gaps, Shelley referenced, are there guidance or how to best practices kind of information that can be created? But particularly, is that what kind of policies need to be advanced to help encourage everybody to participate? Any additional thoughts there that somebody has? And again, please go directly to the spreadsheet, particularly after the meeting. If we all, at this point in time, I'm not sure who is editing, but if you're trying to go in right now, you might be locked out for that moment or your update is not made.
I think we're at public comment, Hans.
Okay, and then after the public comments, we'll go back and look back at the chat and see whether anything that jumps out that we want to discuss further and see whether I have an opportunity to move that forward. So, Mike, over to you.
All right. Thank you, Hans. We're going to open up our meeting for public comments. If you'd like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you happen to be just on the phone only, press star 9 to raise your hand, and once called upon, press star 6 to mute and unmute your lines. Let's pause just for a moment to see if any members of the public want to raise their hand to make a comment. I'm not seeing any hands raised at this point, so I'll turn it back to our co-chairs. Thank you.
All right.
Go ahead, Hans. Do you want to go back to the spreadsheet?
Yes, let's do that. And I'm just scrolling through the chat a little bit further. And if somebody has, there are a variety of people that are indicating that there is a need for the group. So I think we have general sense around that.
Also, I think we need the development of use cases because of the complexity of this issue. It's not as easy as just setting up an inventory. There are different scenarios that I think we need to bring forward. I think Rick Sage had put something in the chat also about that.
Yeah, and if you go back to perhaps the left-hand column and a little bit up to patient engagement, there's a little bit, okay, you are in the discussion notes. If you can jump to the topic two recommendations, and then we'll copy things over after the meeting as well. But if you look at patient engagement, started to have a couple things in there. That if you have ideas about question, double question mark, what others to put in there. And I think we you already had a couple of them that we did not quite put in there. One of the ones to add there is that really you have the ability for a prescription to flesh it out more for a prescription. Is that is there enough available to fill that? So it is the filling part and the prescription part specifically to get the insight, not just general inventory. I think we need to clarify that we talked about.
So Hans, are you asking for, you know, like for us to go in and fill in this information, or do you want us to attempt to write specific recommendations?
Both. If you have an example of a use case that falls within this that we need to consider, that would be helpful because that can be part of an initial, not prioritized, but initial list. And then recommendations either specific to one of those or overall on how ONC can help advance that.
Okay, so in addition to the use cases, because I put in a whole bunch last week.
Yeah, and I think we need to go through it a little bit more that they were in a couple of different areas. So if you want to double check whether it's there, and we will double check as well.
Okay.
And I think use cases are important because we have to come up with a technology solution for this. The use cases become a very important piece in assuring that we can hit all the data points that are needed. So on anything that you can do to actually flush out the use cases that would be helpful from a patient advocacy standpoint would be extremely helpful.
Sure.
Because we can apply the technology to that.
Right.
Absolutely. And find the gaps that we're missing in this entire process of access.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's a good spot. We might find that a couple of them we need to put into other rows a little bit, but that's a good place, and we'll get the carriage returns in there. Let's see, from the chat, and if anybody wants to jump to a specific one that they had for additional time, let me see that I can scroll correctly. We have the other one that jumped out is ability for pharmacies to share information with health plans. Very clearly, there is the aspect of self-pay in there, where if the health plan did not pay for it, it is not appropriate to share unless the patient doesn't mind. But are there other examples beyond that where data sharing between the pharmacy and health plans or prescribers or other providers, where we need to make sure generally, not all the list specifically, that there are concerns around data sharing as well, where the patient may want to indicate that they are not, that it's not appropriate to share?
So I guess that's more of a question for Anna. Anna, if you would, do you think that there is a patient consent issue in this, being a patient advocate?
Patient consent in terms of what, data sharing about specific?
Yes, of who should know the about the access issues. Do you find that?
I don't think so in this case. I mean, most of the stuff that we're talking about isn't necessarily, I mean, as it relates to inventory, that's like, does this stuff exist in the pharmacy's inventory? And how can that, you know, be giving me the information I need or my provider needs or my caregiver needs to be able to do that. In terms of like the specific prescription, I mean, that information's being shared already anyway. So I don't know that this, that we would be considering introducing new privacy concerns unless I'm missing something.
Maybe Alexis has, did you want to get in this conversation, Alexis?
Yeah, I had put something in the chat during that discussion earlier just about this and the disparities that we might create along the way when we're talking about paying out of pocket and not being able to share that information or, you know, being able to, if you're paying out of pocket, say that you don't want this shared with certain folks, including providers, not just your health plan, versus somebody who doesn't have the financial ability to pay out of pocket and must use their insurance or Medicare or Medicaid to cover their prescription and not having that same ability to consent or to block the data that's being sent to your provider or others as far as a privacy concern, because that's really not fair if somebody doesn't want that shared, but they have no choice but to, you know, use other means than out of pocket themselves, then we're really creating an unfair disparity based on, you know, ability to pay.
Yeah, and I also want to make, thank you, Alexis. I also want to make a point about provider burden in this whole process. We know that we have patient burden, a huge amount of patient burden, but if we flip it over to the provider and don't lever the technology to make it easier and more automated, are we putting undue burden on pharmacists and prescribers for this process? I mean, we have all sorts of areas in relationship to reimbursement around this. So I think we need to take that in consideration also, not to come up with a process that would cause undue burden for any provider of these types of services by shifting it away from the patient.
A lot of the, I think we need to focus more of our efforts on the individuals who are trying to get healthcare as opposed to the system. More broadly speaking, having said that, I have great empathy for all of my providers because the amount of work that they have to go through for all of this too. But I think the data elements that we're talking about, if we make them more visible, transparent, and accessible, and this is just inventory, like which NCD code does the health plan care to reimburse for this month, that will help the provider as well. I mean, I would love to not have to manage this stuff, but the reality is I do. So just give me and my doctors the information we need to be able to do it.
We only have 1 minute left. So Alexis, I'll let you talk. But first, the person who raised their hand on the attendee side, we already went through public comment, so please put your comment in the chat. And Alexis, I'll give you the last word very quickly because we do have to close the meeting down in a few
seconds. Real quick, I was just going to say, I don't think it's about completely shifting away from any patient or caregiver role in the process. It's about making it easier and being part of that team, because without the transparency and without the solutions, it's a tremendous amount of time just because we can't actually do these pieces and we're stuck in the middle. So if there's a way to be helpful and time management for all involved, that's fine. But also that said, we need to remember that there are people who don't speak English, people who aren't well spoken, people who don't know how to access these things. And those folks can also not be stuck in the middle and manage this for themselves.
Totally agree. And that's where leveraging the technology might be helpful, hopefully in the future. And so with that, just last words, next week, next meeting, which is next week, we will be starting topic 3, identifying standards needs to support prescribing and management of emerging therapies, including but not limited to specialty medications, digital therapies, and gene therapies. Hans, is there anything else that you want to add before we close and we are a minute over?
No, not specifically on the next week task, but on the prior. Don't hesitate to go into the spreadsheet. Also look at the open placeholders for a number of participants on topic 1. If you have additions, please add them in. If you have modifications to somebody else, please mark it up. That will be great. And thank you for everybody's discussion. Good conversation on inventory, and looking forward to next week's shift to task 3. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Take care.